Good morning. Most of you know Sandy and I'm Don Siebert. We've known Chuck for well over 20 years, I believe. And today we're going to present a celebration that the Jewish people do every year, filled with joy and happiness. But before we get started, I'd like to lift up a prayer, please. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, praise your holy name, Lord, and we lift up our worship to you. We ask you, Lord, that you would be blessed and honored by every action and attitude that we have today, that you would be glorified, that your spirit would be amongst us today, teaching us what you would have us to learn about this joyous occasion that is celebrated every year. We praise your holy name, Lord, and we ask you to bless this congregation and bring your glory down to us. And we lift up our worship to you in the name of Jesus, our Messiah and King. In his name we pray. Amen. The Feast of Purim is one of the most joyous and fun-filled holidays on the Jewish calendar. It commemorates a time when the Jewish people living in Persia were saved from extermination. Its important message is revealed by the name Purim, literally lots, for it recalls a time in Jewish history when the lot was cast to decide the day of destruction of the Jews. The story of Purim is told in the biblical book of Esther. The heroes of the story are Esther, a beautiful young Jewish woman living in Persia, and her cousin Mordecai, who raised her as if she were his daughter. Esther was taken to the house of Ahasuerus, king of Persia, to become part of his harem. Esther was loved greatly by King Ahasuerus more than any other woman in his kingdom, and he made Esther queen. But the king did not know that Esther was a Jew, because Mordecai had told her not to reveal her identity. The villain of the story is Haman, an arrogant, egotistical advisor to the king. Haman hated Mordecai because Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. So Haman plotted to destroy the Jewish people. In a speech that is all too familiar to Jews, Haman told the king, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and across your nation whose laws are different and whose worship is different than your laws, king. Therefore, it is not befitting that the king tolerate them." This is given in Esther 3:8. The king gave the fate of the Jewish people to Haman. To do so, whatever he pleased to do with them. Haman planned to exterminate the Jewish people. Fortunately, there is a living God who saw to it that this evil plan was never fulfilled. Purim is God's appointed time to celebrate the protection of his people from the dangers of their enemies. To better understand this holy day, we must go back to one of the most interesting times in Jewish history, the time of the first dispersion to the land of Persia, approximately 450 BC. The events of Purim are recorded, as we said, in the book of Esther, named after the heroine of the biblical account. The king of Persia, which is modern-day Iran, was Ahasuerus, who was also known as Xerxes in secular history. His was the ruling empire, having conquered the waning Babylonians. Among the multicultural subjects of his kingdom were the sizable Jewish remnant displaced there from the land of Israel. This community had survived and flourished under the benevolence of the Persian rulers. The Jewish people felt at home in their new land and assimilated into the prevailing Persian culture. However, during the reign of Ahasuerus, things suddenly took a turn for the worse. The primary instigator of these problems was one of the government officials, Haman. As Haman rose to power, he insisted upon homage be given to him at every turn. In good pagan tradition, Haman required all of the other servants to bow before him. Among the king's servants was Mordecai, who had previously uncovered a plot to kill King Ahasuerus. But being a Jew, Mordecai was the only one who refused to bow down to Haman. As a devout Jew, Mordecai would only bow down to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Otherwise, it would have been viewed as idolatry. Scripture says that Haman was filled with rage at such insubordination. He desired to do away with Mordecai and all the Jewish people in Persia. Haman devised an evil and insidious way to set the exact time of extermination, an early version of Hitler's final solution of the Jews. He cast the lot, which is also Hebrew, is the word pur, to set the date, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children. Kill them all. The 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, was selected as the day to kill the Jews. Mordecai persuaded Esther to speak to the king on behalf of the Jewish people. This was a dangerous thing for Esther to do, because anyone who came into the king's presence without being summoned could be put to death. And she had not been summoned. Esther fasted for 3 days to prepare herself, then went into the king. He welcomed her. Later she told him of Haman's plot against her people. The Jewish people were saved, and Haman and his 10 sons were hanged on the gallows that had been prepared for Mordecai. The book of Esther is unusual in that it is the only book in the Bible that does not mention the name of God. Yet, the important message that we gain from this book is that God often works behind the scenes to accomplish his purposes. Today we're going to present a play, as they do in the synagogue each year at this time, retelling the story of Esther and the salvation of the Jewish people, the redemption of the Jewish people. And during the reading of the book of Esther, which we did part of here, and the presentation of the play, it is customary that any time you hear the name Mordecai, everyone cheers. You know, they say, Mordecai, yay, yay! Okay, all right. And any time you hear the name of Haman, you hiss and boo. So you boo, boo, stomp your feet, bang, make noises. Take those squawkers and blow them so that the name of Mordecai will be grounded out and cannot be heard. So today we're going to bring some of the cast up here, and we're going to read through a play. And remember to have fun, enjoy it. When you hear Mordecai, yay, yay! And when you hear Haman, boo! Okay, all right. So if all the participants could come up front, that would be great. Now I think, or we may, if we can try it without the speaker. No, we need to put the microphone. Okay, yeah, I want you guys to come up here so everyone can hear. Some of us could probably speak without a microphone. Oh, my. Oh. Okay. 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 And usually in the Jewish congregations, they will all come dressed up. They come dressed up as Esther or Mordecai or a Persian soldier or whatever. It's just a time to have a great time of fun and joy. Okay. All right. Hear ye, this is the story of Esther, or if you prefer, how Purim started. Welcome one, welcome all. Let me tell you a little about the characters in our play. This is Esther, a beautiful Jewish girl with a destiny, and you'll learn more about her later.
Some folks call me Hasada, but I prefer to be called Esther.
Where's the Ahasuerus?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so she's a real cutie. But every story needs a hero, a real He-Man, a guy like me, Ahasuerus. I'm the king of Medo-Persia.
This is King Ahasuerus. You should recognize him even from afar. Rather distinguished looking, don't you think? Notice the noble chin, the deep-set eyes, and the big crown, which he forgot to wear. But he's not really of royal blood. You know, he bought his position, they say. He used to be a stable keeper. Ahasuerus has chosen Shushan to be his capital because the Jewish craftsman who lived there, he wanted a palace modeled after the king, the Jewish king Solomon. This is Ahasuerus's wife, Vashti. She's the one with the royal blood. She's the granddaughter of King Nebuchadnezzar. Ahasuerus' only real claim to the throne stems from Vashti, and they both know that very well. And she continually reminds him of that too, you know. She married him thinking that, he married her thinking that she would add validity to his kingship. She's got a pretty big crown too, but she thinks it ought to be bigger than his. And she thinks she should be in charge. And next, some of you guys may recognize the Jew, Mordecai. He's a godly man and often he often sits by the gates of the city. He's wise and well-respected by all. He was exiled from Israel by King Nebuchadnezzar many years ago.
Yes, I am Jewish. I'm Mordecai.
Yay!
Of the tribe of Benjamin, we Jews have never asked for trouble, but Hashem, blessed be his name, seems to continually bless us with an ample supply of trouble.
Yes, and every story has a villain. And this one is this guy, Haman. He's from the nation of Amalek. In 1 Samuel 15:3, the prophet Samuel told King Saul to smite Amalek and utterly destroy all the men, women, children, and cattle, everything. Well, King Saul didn't listen. He did not destroy the Amalekites as God had commanded. This Haman is an Agagite. An Amalekite of the descendants of Agag. Haman has 10 very bad sons, just as evil as himself. Does that tell you anything? I think we'd better always be listening to God and do what he says.
Haman's the name.
Hello! Okay, Haman. Let's move on. This is Haman's wife, Zeresh. They say she's much smarter than her husband, even able to speak several languages. But she's a little stubborn and refuses to speak her husband's native language. Sounds like these Medo-Persian women need a good teaching on submission. We also have with us tonight one of the king's wise men and an attendant. Wise man, attendant.
Queen Vashti has done wrong against the king and against everybody. All the women are going to hear about the queen's conduct, and they might get ideas themselves. They will despise their husbands and think they can just get by with it. There will be no end to the disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Medo-Persia, which cannot be repelled. And Vashti is never again to enter the presence of the king. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better looking than she is, and someone who knows how to listen to her husband's wishes.
I'm a page two. Well, Horatio, so we're on the bottom of page two.
Yeah, I could go along with that. So be it.
The king did as was proposed.
Let a circle be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Bring all these beautiful girls to the king's harem, as she said. The girls who please the king will be queen instead of Vashti. Remember, only beautiful girls, no homely ones, please.
Now there was in Shushan a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah. Man, was she something. A real beauty. This girl, who was also known as Esther, was lovely in form and features. And Mordecai had taken her to raise as his own daughter when her father and mother had died.
I understand that there's a beautiful young woman living in your home.
Yes, she's my cousin Esther. Would you care to come in?
Just tell the girl to get her things. She can go into the palace with me.
Esther, the king's attendant is here, and he wants to take you to the palace. Seems the king is looking for a new wife.
But I'm not really interested in living in the palace or being the new queen. I enjoy my life here with you.
I'm sure you do, Esther, and I feel the same. But Hashem, blessed be his name, seems to have other plans for you in your life. True, dear cousin, of course true.
After the king's edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to Shushan, including Esther. Before a girl's turn came to go to the king, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments, and then she would be invited to the king's chambers. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning, return to another part of the king's harem for the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. The king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and so she won his favor. He set a royal crown on her head, making her queen instead of Vashti. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai... had forbidden her to do so. Mordecai would spend his days sitting at the king's gate. One day while he was at the king's gate, he overheard two of the king's assistants who were conspiring to assassinate King Ahasuerus. When Mordecai found out about the plot, he told Queen Esther, who reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. When the report was investigated and found out to be true, the two officials were hanged on the gallows. It was sometime after that when King Ahasuerus decided to honor Haman. Elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than all the other nobles and princes. As the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid homage to Haman. As the king had commanded, all except Mordecai, who would not kneel down or pay him honor. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged.
Why aren't you bowing to me? Don't you know who I am?
No.
Me bow to you? God bless be his name. Would strike me dead first. Could I ever bow to you? Yes, I know who you are, but I am Mordecai.
Yeah!
Not God, but God.
Haman was furious. He looked for a way to destroy Mordecai and all his people, the Jews.
King Ashuras, there's a group of people scattered throughout the kingdom whose customs are different from those of our people and who do not obey the king's laws. These Jews are vermin, the very cause of every woe that has come upon us all. If it pleases the king, let this decree be issued to destroy them. They're worthless people, and they have ugly daughters.
Sounds like a good plan, Haman. I'll give you the signet ring from my finger. Do with these people as you please, especially the ugly ones.
We'll send out dispatches with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day. I have cast the purr, and on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the chosen day to kill the Jews and to plunder their goods.
When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. Esther heard what Mordecai was doing, and she sent a eunuch to bring Mordecai to find out why.
Esther, that evil Haman, may his brains be turned into steam, has made plans to have all the Jews killed on the 13th day of Adar. You must go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead for your people.
You know any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned will be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and to spare his life. 30 days have passed since I was last called to the king. He might think I'm the most beautiful in the kingdom, but I don't know if I want to take that risk.
Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you will escape. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will come from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this.
We need a miracle, and men cannot work miracles without the hand of the Eternal. Gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan, and fast and pray for me. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
God's greatest pleasure is making miracles from the dust of our despair. I will pray for a miracle.
So Mordecai carried out all of Esther's instructions. On the third day, Esther put on her finest royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased. With her hand and held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter.
What is it, Esther? What is your request? Even up to half of my kingdom, it will be given to you.
If it pleases the king, come today to a banquet I have prepared for you. And bring Haman.
So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared.
Okay, sweetie, we're here. Now what do you want from me? I will give you anything. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be yours.
Well, if you really like me, if you regard me with favor, and if it pleases you to grant my petition, come again tomorrow, along with Haman. To another banquet I will prepare for you. Then I will answer your question.
Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. He called together his friends, his wife, and Zeresh's wife, and his sons, Haman, boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, he had 10 of them, and all the ways that the king had honored him and how the king had elevated him above the other nobles and princes in Persia.
And that's not all. I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave. She's invited me along with the king again tomorrow. All this gives me no satisfaction, however, as long as I see that Jew Mordecai.
This suggestion delighted Haman. He had the gallows built right outside of his own house. That night, the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of the chronicles of his reign to be read to him. Ahasuerus heard recorded how Mordecai had exposed the two attendants who had conspired to assassinate him.
I forgot about all that. What honor and recognition has Mordecai?
Yay!
Received for bringing this matter to my attention and saving my life. And
nothing has been done for him, sir.
Shortly after that, Haman entered the room.
Haman.
Haman.
What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?
Haman thought to himself,
who is there that the king would rather honor than me? The king should truly honor me. O king, if there is someone you desire to honor, then you should bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let your attendants robe the man you desire to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming what this man has done and how the king delights to honor.
Great idea, Haman. Go at once, get the robe and the horse, and do just as you have suggested. For Mordecai, the Jew.
Haman was shocked, but he had no choice but to obey the king's orders. On the very next day, he went and honored Mordecai. Just as the king had commanded. And then, immediately, Haman rushed to join the king and Queen Esther for the second banquet. When the king arrived at the banquet of Queen Esther, he was dying with curiosity. And he said,
tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your mysterious request? I would give it to you, even if it's half the kingdom.
If you really like me, if you regard me with favor, and if it pleases you to grant my petition, then I ask for my life and the lives of my people to be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill us and completely destroy us.
When the king asked who would do such a wicked thing, Queen Esther pointed to Haman. Then the king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the garden, the palace garden. Haman was terrified. He was still terrified and began to tremble and realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was begging Esther to persuade the king to change his mind.
What am I to do with you, Haman?
There's a gallows by Haman.
Then, hang him!
Haboo!
On it, and good riddance.
they hanged Haman. On the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. It had been a difficult time for the Jews living in Medo-Persia during the Babylonian captivity, but God never left them or forgot about them. They had always been and will always be the apple of his eye. Monarchs will come and go, empires will rise and fall, but Hashem, blessed be he, will always be in everlasting covenant with the seed of Israel. That same day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman. He also found out that Mordecai was Esther's guardian and had him brought into the palace.
Mordecai? The Jew, here's my signet ring. You shall be second in rank only to the king.
The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai. Esther again pleaded to the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman, which he had devised against the Jews.
You know, a law cannot be revoked once it's been written, but you may write another law in my name on behalf of the Jews and seal it with my signet ring.
The king's new law granted the Jews the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate any armed force of any nationality that might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. Mordecai, yeah, left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. The city of Shushan held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. Many people of other nationalities became Jews because of the favor they had found with King Ahasuerus. All the nobles of the provinces helped the Jews. Mordecai was prominent in the palace, and his reputation spread throughout the provinces, and he became more and more powerful. On the 13th day of Adar, the Jews struck down their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, but they refused to plunder those who intended them harm.
Now, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? It will also be granted.
If it pleases the king, give the Jews in Shushan permission to carry out the same edict again tomorrow, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows.
The king commanded that this be done. An edict was issued in Shushan, and they hanged the 10 sons of Haman. The Jews in Shushan came together on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and in Shushan they put to death their enemies, but they did not take the plunder. Meanwhile, the remainder of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also assembled to protect themselves and get relief from their enemies. They killed many of them, but did not take the plunder. Haman had plotted against the Jews for their destruction. But when the king found out, he issued written orders that the evil scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back to his, Haman's, I threw that in there, own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, these days were called Purim, from the Hebrew word pur, meaning lot, for Haman had cast lots. A little slow to determine the day of the destruction of the Jews. A little late. The Jews established the custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should observe these 2 days every year in the way and time prescribed by Mordecai. The 14th and 15th of Adar should be remembered and observed in every generation, by every family, in every province, and in every city. and these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews. Mordecai, the Jew, was second in rank to King Ahasuerus and was held in high esteem by as many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of his people. And so ends our little play for Purim. As you can see, it's a very very joyous occasion. And even though the holy day of Purim is not directly mentioned in the New Covenant, the lessons of this feast permeate it. The main lesson is found in the faithfulness of God toward his covenant people. In Genesis 12:3, we find part of the promise to Abraham is divine protection. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The simple but profound lesson of Purim is that God will be faithful to his promises, and any time his people are threatened with destruction, God will intervene because his character is at stake. As Rabbi Paul, put it in Romans 11:29, for God's free gifts and his calling are irrevocable. Perhaps the best one-word summary of all this can be found in the word protection. Yet the message of Purim is not to be limited to the ancient history of Israel. Every believer in Yeshua, Jesus, has reason to celebrate. God's consistent protection of the Jewish people should remind all believers a sense of hope and security. God is a covenant-keeping God who is faithful to every generation. Thank you. Here is my Esther. And she would like to add just a note or two. Sandy is her name.
Well, as Esther and Mordecai stood
Yay!
Up, they did the right thing. They stood up for what was right. And they trusted God. And each one of us in our lives, we might have a Haman. In fact, if you don't have one today, you will have one. And you've probably had them. Evil things that come against you. But the lesson that we can learn here is that we stand up and do the right thing and trust that God is there working behind the scenes for his will to be done. So to remember that, one of the things that is done traditionally is the eating of the hamantasha. Now the hamantasha is supposed to be like Haman's ear, and it's to remind the Jewish people and to remind us, may we never ever hear his name again. We don't want to hear it. Our ears cannot hear it. So we eat the ear to get rid of that and to rid ourselves of his name, because we don't want to look at him. We want to look at a mighty God. Thank you. And we have hamantasha, and each one of you can come down there. Really good. It's a cookie, and it's filled with apricot, raspberry, strawberry. But come down and try them. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I think it's more about the shape, but you know.
And there's stuff in the ears.
Yeah, it's the stuff in the ears.
Mike, would you want to comment? And who else we got available here? You want to come up too? Maybe we could hand these out for a second here.
Pass them around.
Okay, because, yeah, and the band can come forward anytime too when you get a chance there for the final song. But just a couple things on the celebration. And we'll get to it when we get to the book of Esther and get to go through it verse by verse more. But just a few things that are really intriguing with that book. We have a picture of Jesus there in Esther being the hero, you know. She was willing to go to the point of death, if need be, to rescue her people. And that's a picture of Jesus. He went to the point of death to rescue people, you know? And we just praise him and thank the Lord that Jesus is willing to do that. We can feel that tension in Esther when she had to make that decision. Do I go to death if need be to rescue people? And Jesus did that for us. He made that decision. And he went to the cross, it says, for the joy that was set before him. And We're part of that joy. If you know Jesus today, it was for us that Jesus did that. That's a cool thing. Another thing, we get a picture of Mordecai. You know, you think about him. Yeah, he's kind of the picture of the Holy Spirit working in the background. He's the one who's got the influence there and working through that. So we get some really awesome lessons from seeing that as well. In some of the circumstances, I love these things where it just happened to be. You know, you think of the episode where here's Mordecai out by the gate, and he just happened to hear those two guys talking about wanting to assassinate the king. He just happened to be there at the right moment, and they just happened to be talking about it when he was within earshot to be able to hear that. And you see God's hand all over the whole story, you know, in not only bringing her, but little details like that. And there are so many things, again, in our life that just so happened to be, you know, where you were there that day, where someone just so happened to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. And then he went to the cross and paid for your sins. And he completed that work when he said, "It is finished," on the cross. So our sins were paid for completely. And it just so happened that you got to hear that one day. And it was brought to you maybe through a tract, maybe through reading the Bible. Maybe someone spoke it to you personally. Maybe you heard it over the airwaves, a television program. But you just happened to be there, and that message just happened to come out. So I just love some of those elements. Like I said, we'll get deeper into the story when we get a chance to get there verse by verse. But if we could have the band come up, we'll get ready for our final song here. Yeah. And you know, this is really cool, a chance to really celebrate this this holiday, this feast today, as an opportunity to rejoice in God's protection for his people. And we just had an amazing thing happen in our history this last week. You know, we have Iran who's trying to destroy the Jews. Very similar story to what we just saw portrayed in front of us. And the Lord has sent an amazing thing. You think about it, here's a Jewish man who came to this nation to stand before the leaders of our nation to warn them. Do not allow this to happen. You know, amazing picture there. So, and I'm sure it was chosen for just this time when the Jews were celebrating Purim, that lo and behold, you know, here comes this Jew to this nation here that God established on Judeo-Christian foundation in this country here. And he comes and he warns this nation, do not allow this enemy to destroy the Jews, to not allow that to happen. So really historic time. That's why I said I'm amazed that we had opportunity to celebrate Purim ourselves here and to rejoice in it. Thank you, Don and Sandy, for the work you put into this, and all the players. Thank you guys for doing that too and taking part in this. And it is cool that we can celebrate God's protection. He watched over us to allow us to be here today as well. So we just want to give him the praise for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your protection. Lord, we know there were times in our life where we shouldn't even be here today. Times when you rescued us, Lord. Times when your angels watched over us and you had them protect us from harm. Lord, I know there are times you let us go through difficulties as well that our faith might grow. And we thank you for those too. But we just praise you, Lord. Thank you so much for your power and your awesome love. And Lord, for everybody that's here today, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus yet, I pray, open their heart, give them a hunger to want to know the truth, give them a desire to repent and say, I want my sins forgiven, and I want to believe on Jesus, and help them come to the foot of the cross, Lord. We just want to ask you for that, Lord, today, that you would work in their heart. We pray for our loved ones in that same way, Lord, people we know, people we work with, work on their hearts to put a burden on their, that they'd be convicted of sin and want to be free from that, and they would find Jesus as the one who paid for their sin and offers that forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord. For those of us as believers today, help us to have that boldness to stand for truth, just as we were talking, Lord, to be willing to say, even if it's to the point of death, we will stand for Jesus in these last days. And we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. We want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.